Hey guys, we're moving right along here learning about our chakra systems. This is conversation number 4 about it. We had a top level discussion. We talked about chakra number 1 and 2, and this is chakra number 3. And with me is an amazing guest. You'll learn more about her next and more about chakra 3 right after this intro. Welcome to Conversations with Roland, where the goal of this show is to learn life secrets through diverse experiences. I am your host, Roland Achenjang. Guys, welcome to another episode of Conversations with Roland. As always, I am super excited to record these conversations, and today is no different. Today, we will be talking about our third chakra, chakra number 3. And with me is an amazing guest who at this point really needs no introduction, except to say she's looking bright, beautiful, wearing yellow, just shining like the sun. It's my absolutely amazing friend and mentor, Char Young. So Char, welcome to Conversations with Roland. How are you today?
I'm a little bit tired, so it's interesting that we're talking about the third chakra, which is all about energy. But I'm excited to be here with you. I love visiting with you, Roland. Way to wear yellow.
Thank you. I was inspired. You inspire me, my friend. I was inspired. Yeah. I've always had this joke I tell people, like, I'm so bright, my dad calls me son. So it's a great day to throw that joke out as we're both wearing yellow talking about the third chakra today.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now I want to be a son.
You're a different kind of son. You're the...
Yeah. I love that. I've never heard that before. Way to be.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. So, I mean, you're tired. Today we don't... I mean, we'll get right into it talking about the third chakra and... We'll learn as much as we can. Again, I'll set you up. And what I know about the chakra is its, you know, Sanskrit name is Manipura, M-A-N-I-P-U-R-A. And it translates to City of Jewels, amongst other things. I already mentioned that we're both wearing yellow, and that's the color associated with this chakra. It's yellow. Symbol, it's a lotus flower with 10 petals and a downward pointing triangle in the center of it. It's located in our solar plexus area, which is right in the upper part of our stomach, where our diaphragm rests. Tantric mantra is Ram, R-A-M. We haven't really talked much about those mantras, but just throwing that out there. And its element, associated element, is fire, you know. And it sounds like we need to increase, maybe fan your fire a little bit here so that you have more energy for this conversation. Yeah, but I mean, beyond that, we always want to know, why do we have each chakra that we have? So why do we have this third chakra?
The third chakra is our action, is our transformation. So like I said, I'm a bit tired today, but that's actually going to help us with this conversation, because I'm aware of when my energy is the lowest during the week. And my day is on Wednesdays. And you can just kind of notice what day of the week is honestly your lowest bit of energy. And why I say honest is this is where you really need to know thyself. You need to know how you're using your energy. You need to know how your energy flows through your particular being, your particular essence, personality, how you show up as this human, this persona. It will be unique to you. That's where I go back to that breadcrumb trail. So I know that Wednesdays are a little bit more tired.
You know, Shaw, the whole idea of Wednesdays being kind of like the low energy day for you of the week, in working professionally, have thought about this too, in the sense that, you know, Sunday we're kind of at home, little relaxed still, right? We don't come to work. So we feel good. We go to church. Usually many people will go out to lunch with the family right after church, meet with friends in the community and talk. So it's a high energy day. Monday, maybe not so much, but it's not like the lowest, right? It's your first day back from the weekend. So usually people are feeling like, okay, I got to deal with all the issues that came up over the weekend while I was away from work. If especially with me in healthcare, where we don't really close for the weekend, right? We're kind of fixing things. So usually you have some high energy on Monday. Tuesday, however, I found to be like the day with the most energy, the highest energy. That's when everyone's like most productive. And I just thought it was because, okay, you've dealt with Monday. Tuesday, you're really not going anywhere, right? You're kind of forced to be here. You're picking up on the issues that you solved on Monday. And then now you're gung-ho on actually taking care of things that you actually do want to take care of. You're not putting out other fires, for instance. Now, when Wednesday comes, it's like, okay, it's the middle of the week, right? Things start to slow down in the sense you're already thinking weekend. Wednesday, usually you're not as productive. And then Thursday, you're productive in a different way. And it doesn't relate to professional work, but I always thought of it as in college, it was like ladies' night or something, Thursday night. So everyone was kind of ready to, like, the ladies were ready to go out for drinks and stuff. So there were like energies kind of picking back up towards being excited for the weekend. And then Friday, the energy is all about the weekend. Like by Friday, we're all, you know, we're ready to go. And then, of course, Saturday, you're kind of recovering from your partying Friday night, getting ready to party again on Saturday night. So the whole idea of, at least in your personal life, being aware that, you know, Wednesdays are your low point, you know, kind of hump day. I've seen this kind of work professionally, too, just by paying attention to my life as a pharmacist.
Okay. So what if you didn't have any of that earthly tasks, routine, schedule, or whatever? So this is where you've been able to see it at a human level, and that would make very good points. I mean, all of what you said, it was like, yep, that's what a majority of the people do, because a majority of that is habit, program. You know what I mean? You're just going with this is what we always do. This is going with the level of awareness, for lack of it, or just the routine of. So what if you just leaned back a little bit more, and this is where knowing thyself energetically, how does the energy show up for you if you didn't have any of that stuff going on? Because technically, you don't anymore. So this would be a great opportunity for you to lean back and observe the new updated Roland, and what days, if you just show up for each day, because remember, time and the days, those are all earthly labels. They really don't exist. So how do you relate with the energy that's flowing through? Does the mind chatter actually telling you on Mondays, Mondays is actually in the business world, you know, the highest suicide rate. So Mondays, technically in the corporate world, that's a data where you're more apt to say, you know what, I've had enough. But which is because it's the mind chatter, it's not being in creation and co-creating. We'll learn about that one when we step up into the heart chakra with the energy and like, okay, I could force myself to, you know, do my running or anything just because, you know, this is what I do every single day. Or I can work with the energy and like, you know what, Wednesdays are just a little bit slower time, more of a recovery time that I need. So why do I want to push myself through that? But also not allowing it to overcloak me and to be an excuse where I become a victim. So I can honestly, when you ask me how I am, I'm like, well, honestly, I'm a little bit tired today.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact. Or you hear some people are like, oh God, I'm just so exhausted. It's just so much, you know? And that is letting it be over you and letting it consume your day and doing that martyr thing that we learned in the second chakra. Oh, well, I got to do this or nobody will do it.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I like that. I like that point in building on the importance of really knowing yourself, right? And then owning how you feel, but then not letting how you feel own you.
Correct, because just what you just said right there is how you work with the third chakra. The third chakra is your fire, is your, like you said, your sun, your energy center. So you're in the root chakra, you have your earth, and you're stepping up into the movement of the second chakra, and it starts, you start to flow. Energy, emotions, you know, are all about movement. Well, now you're coming up into the third chakra, and this is, what are you going to do with that movement? This is, the third chakra is your energy, your heat, your friction, your ignite, your fire. So are you going to have a damp fire that's really weak and kind of mopey and doesn't really get anything going, doesn't really warm you, doesn't really move you forward at all or up into the other chakras? And also the third chakra is about your ego identity. And ego identity, ego is one of those touchy words again, but it is something that you need to be aware of because we're actually a character here. We're actually playing a part. So when we get up through the rest of the chakras and we look down at this human, which is called Char, watching how she shows up, watching what she does and how she reacts. Is it habit or is it an aware conscious choice, which is all the third chakra. So in your root chakra, you've got your physical identity, which is your tribe, your roots, your physical body. Then we move up into the second chakra, which is the movement, the water, the emotional movement of energy. All right. And then we come up into the third and we've got this ego identity. And here's where we transform things. Whatever you wanted to create in this second chakra, now is your opportunity as you come up into the third chakra. Are you going to actually make conscious choices, which is using your will, and we need to talk about that a little bit more, or are you going to do your power, which we need to talk about that, and that's why knowing thyself, between will and power, because will is you're going to make a conscious direction of your life force energy. So a really easy example of this one is you're laying in bed, and your alarm goes off, and the day before you had this great desire, which was created in your second chakra, to really get yourself into physical shape. I need to lose 10 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay. So now your alarm goes off and you're laying there. Do you shut the alarm off and make a conscious choice, using your will to make a conscious direction with your life force energy and get up out of bed to go exercise? That's your second chakra. I want to exercise. I want to move. And then using your will, using your awakened choice, conscious choice to like go after losing those 10 pounds or getting in shape or eating better or whatever you decided to create in your second chakra. Or are you just going to lay there and go back to sleep and like, yeah, I'll do it in half an hour or I'll start tomorrow. Then that is using the asleep, you're like a choice, which is a habit or which is like
easier way out.
Not strengthening your will.
It could also, you know, you said which is habit, the easier way out or, you know, conditioned behavior, essentially habit.
Or just plain lazy. Yeah, you just don't want to use that will. And then that's an interesting thing because then the mind chatter kicks in or the programs or the beliefs. More than anything, it's the beliefs and the behavior that's running in your background. That's where we need to observe and that's where we need to really become aware of. Is there programs running in your background that, well, if I lose 10 pounds, you know, what will my friends think of me? You know, well, I lose my friends because, you know, they're still into, you know, eating and drinking, and I don't want to do that anymore. So I don't know. Do I want to lose 10 pounds and become healthier, or do I want to risk losing my friends that I have? Because they're not going to want to. They're going to shame me, which is the main emotion in the third chakra. We shame people. Or you've been shamed, or like, well, who gives you the right to do that? Or who do you think you are to go get into an exercise program or to lose weight? I mean, what do you think you are? You know, and how that programs of, okay, if I do this thing that is really pulling me, which is your breadcrumb trail, which is all I talk about, is what is your unique way to bring out, to live here on earth, to be? Are you willing to do those uncomfortable, scary choices, which is your third chakra, or will you rationalize it and will you make up stories to keep you stuck, which is mind chatter, which is the lower realm of, which is not following our breadcrumb trail, which was doing what, well, this is what everybody's doing, so I'm going to go ahead and do that because I don't want to be different. I don't want to be not liked. I don't want to be shunned from the group. You know, which takes us back to our root chakra, you know, casted out of the group because of, you know, what you're feeling pulled to do.
Yeah.
So the third chakra is really, really interesting.
It is. I'm also fascinated, Shaw, about the way you are able to connect mind chatter to this chakra, right? Because I've always associated mind chatter with the seventh chakra. For some reason, you know, I've always just thought, oh, mind chatter has to do with
up in your head.
Up in your head. But no, I mean, I really like that example of where you're saying, well, with your willpower, right, you can easily decide either way, but that's very much influenced by your fears, right? And if it wasn't the seventh chakra, sorry again, it would have probably been to me like the first, where it's, okay, you have those foundational fears, and then they're coming to play.
Yep. Well, actually, you take in information. You read the energy of anything around you by your second chakra. Remember, that's our emotional identity. That's our energy. So between your second and third, you're taking in what am I feeling here? What's really going on? What they're finding out now is that, you know, our first brain is in our solar plexus area, in our nervous system, where we take in information. We read a room energetically. It always reminds me of Arnold Schwarzenegger in, is it The Terminator? Where he can get the digital readouts and he reads the room. Yeah. Well, that's actually kind of how our second and our third chakra are taking in information. So you're taking in information. And if you have, remember we talked about filters and how you related to somebody in the past or a certain situation, those filters are now slid in front of you. And then that's how you see the world. So when I step into the doctor's office, let's say, well, actually, I'm going to use a personal example. When my brother was in a car accident in 1983, he was in ICU. So my whole filter that got put in front of me was the smells of the hospital, the nurses, all of the beeps and all of the sounds that happen in a hospital room, and then seeing in there and the ventilators. And so all of that is being recorded into my cells, and I'm in a lower energy because it does not look good. So I'm in a lower frequency. So I'm in a highly stressed, basically fearful energy. And so all that's being recorded into my cells, into my memory banks. So, and then 2 months, we spent 2 months in the hospital, and then he ended up passing. So, and he was only 23. So how old was I? I was still in high school. So 10th grader, maybe 9th, 10th grader. And then I don't even think it was a year later, just months later, you know, my dad was in the hospital and so was his brother at different times. And because there's all of this emotional stuff in me, going to see my father in the hospital, and his was, you know, some lung surgery, all of those emotions that I never dealt with months prior, now when I go into the room, they're all right there. And I am not living in the present moment. I'm living in the past, and I can't be in there for very long. I'm getting sick. I'm getting nauseated from the smell. And my dad was fine at that point. He was just having a surgery done. But the story, the mind chatter that was running in my cells, in my solar plexus, in my heart, and in the head, is all of the stuff I hadn't processed, because I didn't process it, because I just went into drinking and like distancing myself from the family. It's like, I can't do this. So you revert to something that will numb everything, which is the third chakra. If you can't deal with life around you, you're going to numb it by drugs, by food, by smoking, whatever you can do to put in that hole. Because my fire was so low that it was almost out, that it needed to be energetically fed somehow. So that's why people choose to drink or to smoke or to eat, because what they're doing is they're taking in a form of energy, be it a low vibration energy. They're taking in this lower vibration, and how we take it in is in our mouth, and we digest it, or we chew it up, and we swallow it, and it comes down to the third chakra, where it's used for transformation. Yeah. Is it going, we're churning down here where your intestines are and your digestive system. It takes in the information that you see either energetically around you or emotionally or mentally or physically. You're taking all of that in into your eyes and your nose and your mouth, and you swallow all of that energetically, and it comes down into your third chakra. Now you're going to transform that. Okay, what is the frequency of the energy? What is the intention? Are you trying to survive? Are you trying to numb something because it's just, life is just too much. You can't swallow or digest it. So therefore we cover it up and we bury it. We've got to put something down in there because we don't want to deal with it. We want it to be numb. We want it to go away because it's just too much. Does that make sense? Can you feel the difference in how powerful our third chakra is on so many different levels?
So it's essentially saying, I have, let me not say essentially, but to kind of summarize it, I have a desire to achieve this, but then given the mind chatter kind of making us feel like, okay, maybe we don't have to, or finding an excuse not to, then we revert and use any energy or any power that we have, whether it's you know, available, it's high, or even if it's low, to divert that and use it for something else, kind of to keep at bay maybe our fears, keep at bay maybe our guilt, right? That comes from the mind chatter. And then what we eventually create based off, and I like that you said this, based off of our intention and the energy that's associated with what we're consuming or perceiving, translates. It becomes the outcome of what we actually do experience.
So your third chakra, instead of translate, use the word transform. That's the third chakra. It transforms. Whatever you're taking in, be it food, be it cigarette smoke, be it the surroundings, like if you watch the news right now, lots of people have digestive problems because they're watching the news. They're watching all of this chaos. They're afraid, which is the first chakra. They're either having riots or they're frozen, which is your second chakra. Are you all over the place with your emotions and screaming and fighting and resisting? Or are you frozen solid like, oh, crap, I don't know what to do. I'm so scared. And you're just stuck. So you're watching all this news. You don't know how to digest it. And now you're having digestive issues because you can't swallow what you're seeing. You can't figure out what in the world to do with all of what you're seeing. That's your digestive issues in your tissues. That's like, I don't know how to chew this up. I don't know how to transform this. What else would be another?
Before you add that, and then even later on, maybe answering the question of what would be a really good way to help digest and transform all of this. You know, we've discussed the will side, right? The will side is the conscious direction of using your life force energy, as you said. Now, the power side, what's the power side?
Power side is very much ego. Ego in the ego in the lower vibration of, I'm going to power you. I'm going to make you do this. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to fight. And not the warrior of right action. And I'll explain that in a little bit. But I just want to fight because I enjoy fighting.
What do you think of, I want to fight because I believe this is right?
Well, the first thing I would suggest that people, when they say, well, we have to mm-hmm. fight for this. Well, back up a little bit here, back up and again, go to that question of why. Why are you fighting? Are you fighting because it's uncomfortable and you don't like what you see and you are feeling afraid? That's different. That's different. That means you have issues in your tissues and old wounds that you are functioning from. Okay? If I have dealt with my issues and I am in my three first chakras, solid, grounded, confident, making choices based on faith, based on higher perspective, based on neutral. So if there's a cause and I'm neutral about it and I don't care the outcome and I'm following my breadcrumb trail that says, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I feel like I need to get up there and speak about this or get in and help this, whatever this is for you. And you're doing it from a neutral, you don't care the outcome, you're feeling a breadcrumb trail. That is using your will. That is working with the energy in a higher frequency. If you're wanting to fight for right, because this is the right thing to do, well, right for who? Right for your story? Right for your ego? Right so you feel comfortable? Then you got to back up and figure out, why does this make you uncomfortable? Start there. As soon as you clear it up, who knows? Then it might just pass, or you might have a clearer, higher perspective of like, okay, now I'm at a neutral state of energy using my will and not for my self story, not to make me look good, not to be powerful, but I'm showing up because I am being pulled on faith. I don't care how the outcome turns. I am just here in a neutral, loving energy.
I like.
Can you feel the difference in those two?
I love that. It has been, again, one of the really big lessons that I'm learning following the awakening, right? The whole idea of neutrality. And when you talk about it, that's really looking at every event and experience from a higher perspective. And another thing that it's really pushing me to do, and in talking to you privately and on the podcast today, I'm sure you can attest, it's the internal work, right? It's usually asking first why an experience or an event makes me feel some kind of way. It's a lot easier to say, okay, you're doing this to me. But I, you know, you quickly learn that that's not necessarily the case. Because if you look at each of our lives, if you look at it over time, there are things that have changed in the way they affect us, right? Where something would make you really mad, and then all of a sudden you get used to it and then it doesn't bother you anymore, right? And not to say it doesn't bother you because you've sort of bottled it or put it away by, you know, drinking or taking drugs in that sense. But it's when you're okay with it from a neutral, higher perspective. It's like, I understand. A classic example, and this is really, it's just a very simple example, but again, it's a life experience and a story that you can take with you and apply it to anywhere. And I discuss it in my book where my wife was interacting with, you know, one of my cousins who is still learning the alphabet at the time, right? And they don't know the difference between zero and the letter O, for instance. And they have this toys with alphabets and numbers kind of mixed up. And she picks up what was to my wife the letter O, but to her, the number zero. And you know, my wife says, oh, well, that's the letter O. And as a kid, she's adamant that it's the number zero. My wife is wrong. And, you know, she needed to be corrected. My wife needed to be corrected. This is not the letter O. It's the number zero. Now, at that point, because of a higher perspective that, quote unquote, my, if you compare my wife's level of awareness between numbers and letters, it's way more than like my cousin's or my cousin's kid at that time. And so my wife's reaction wasn't from any place of judgment or anger. It was more of a place of, oh, I just love your innocence, right? Right. It's something you're still developing. And so I don't have to respond some kind of way. It's okay. Yeah, I see why you think it's the number zero, but it's really not. And it could be, right? And so her response wasn't, well, I need to correct you in like a powerful. It was acceptance of I see where you are in your current, I guess, progression and growth as a human and a soul having this experience. And I think that's what I'm really trying to work on is looking at life and all experiences and then stepping back and asking, but it would have been really easy to belittle the child or correct them and really make them accept. But you said, no, it has slowly happened over time. You step back, you have faith, and then you kind of appreciate that. Yeah, maybe the letter O and the number zero aren't the same for everybody.
Yeah. And that's getting to that neutral of just the facts. Yeah. Just the facts. What is the least amount of labels that you can use in life? Labels or identities or whatever, and just get to the facts and just get to very neutral, because the universe is just neutral. The universe is just unfolding. It's the human
that qualifies
that is having the experience, and how that experience is our greatest gift as a human, because we're the only animal that can control the fire, that can control the complex acts of our will. Are you going to, you know, shame that little girl and make fun of her? Are you going to say, oh, I'm right and you're wrong? That's using that power in a lower vibration ways. Those people usually have bigger bellies because they're trying to puff up their power. If you think of birds, you know, or certain animals, cats, you know, puff up their hair, their fur, so that they look bigger. Well, that's what some humans do. If they feel in their truth with a capital T and in their background of energy that they don't feel powerful at all, that they've been run over by life, by family, by work, whatever, they just don't have no power. But their ego on a lower vibration is not going to let anybody see that, and they actually have very big bellies because they're trying to puff their power up, and they want to push people around.
So that's one way it shows up. Now, speaking, this is actually a really good segue, Shar, is to get into some of the ways a blocked third chakra would show up.
So you'd have the bigger belly. Again, the weight issues is very complex, and it runs on the behavior. So it also mixes with lots of chakras. So it's not just around one. So one of the things is, you know, like the weight, but the weight, like I said, is pretty complex. You'll have eating disorders.
Okay.
You'll either eat too much, or you eat and then
vomit. Yeah.
Get rid of it right away. You'll also have digestive disorders, like we talked about earlier, because it's hard for you to digest anything. You'll have ulcers because if the stomach is our first brain, you sit down here and you churn things over, like cows who chew their cud over and over and over again. People who just chew over old stories or I wish I would have done it this way, and then just constantly mulling it over. Just any little story, be it happened at earlier today or, you know, 25 years ago, just mulling that over. That's all in their stomach, and they're just churning it over and over. That's where you get that acidic stomach from. There's just too much anger, too much resentment, too much bitterness that's in your intestines, in your stomach, in your gallbladder and things like that. You're just regurgitating things over. Diabetes will show up a little bit because you're not tasting the sweetness of life. You're not having any pleasures that come from the second chakra. You'll have like ulcers because if you're spewing fire, if you don't like what you're seeing, you'll have more of a wicked mouth. You'll have vengeful words come out. You're always wanting to fight. You're wanting to interact in a low vibration, negative way, because you've just got this heat inside of you, and you're like, you know, blasting it out at people. You know, kind of vision the dragon who's just like smoking people with its words. You know,
I mean, I'm sure we can all say we have worked with or interacted with people who kind of remind us of, you know, kind of like this power struggle that happens within them, that they then tend to take it out on, you know, people that they're working with, people that they know, kind of fighting for this power position in a way. And I've personally worked with people that I've seen where I would say, my goodness, right? Definitely need some work in this area. And then the question becomes, how does this become this way as you're growing up? You know, what are some of the things in your life that would affect you and affect the development of this chakra, essentially?
Okay. Well, bullying, for one, because one, you're being bullied by someone who's not using their power or their energy of a higher frequency, because they're feeling afraid and they don't like that feeling. So they're going to bring people to their party and bully other people, shaming them, saying, "Oh, wow, I can't believe you did that," you know, or what you think is wrong, you know, all of the ways that we shame people, that gets stuck in our stomach, in our tissues. Also, parents who, which is interesting, if they are overly protective, like they won't let you make any choice on your own, they're just total hovering over you, or there's like no parents in your childhood, no parental, you know. So like for my personal story, I was being a parent at a very young age. I was doing parental responsibilities at a young age. You know, like I was babysitting, you know, 9 years old. And sometimes for a weekend, you know, 3 to 6 kids. That is being a parent way too soon. Coming from an alcoholic family, you know, there's people that are, the adults are checked out. You tend to step in there and become a parent. You know, you're doing those parental responsibilities at a young age. That will affect your third chakra. Or having somebody really smother your power and smother you, having very authoritative parents, that also affects your third. And of course, physical abuse, being physically, you know, beaten. Because that's your power. Somebody's trying to put your flame out, yeah. Basically. You know, any sort of those memories of people trying to put your flame out, trying to cover up your light, that'll all your third chakra. And then the mind chatter can do that as well. Like, well, who am I to be able to do that? You know, whatever, you know, that whole story. You know, that's a little bit of the martyr, and that's staying as a servant. That's the lower end. If we were looking at this as archetypes, your third chakra is either you're a servant, you're constantly giving to everybody else all of your energy, making sure they're all taken care of, and you're neglecting yourself. You're not nurturing yourself. You're not giving anything to you. And then the warrior, which we kind of touched on earlier, warrior is being responsible, being a master of your energy and showing up in neutral, like we had talked about earlier, showing up to do right action if it's part of your breadcrumb trail and not part of any sort of ego or story or recognition. It's standing up in a neutral with, and the word is gumption. With all your gumption yeah. to get something yeah. done. But of a neutral, loving place, not of an overpowering, you're wrong, you're to blame for this type of energy. Yeah. It's stepping in as a bright light.
I like that, Char. No, it's a good, really good explanation. And in looking at my life and some of the experiences that I have had, where, you know, I've always felt like, why did this turn out so great when, I mean, all I did was just do this with no attachment. Like it just happened. And that's a really good example. And one of them was, you know, at work where I created this report to give to the providers that I work with, right? And it could have been a very contentious report. But I did it all by myself with no agenda. I mean, the only agenda was like, oh, I'm just going to do this because it feels like something to do. And I'm just going to give it to the providers. I'm not going to tell them I'm working on it. And I'll see what happens. There was no plan to have them use the report to do anything with it. It was just, this is what's going on. This is an analysis of your prescribing habits compared to your peers with regards to opioid prescriptions, for instance, right? And that, I mean, it's a touchy subject now, more so a couple of years ago when I started this. And I prepared the whole thing and I talked to my boss about it. And, you know, she was like, okay, well, yeah, let's share it to the doctors. And so I did. And I just gave it to them and I said, yeah, this is just that. If you ask me why I'm doing this, that's it. It's just to give it to you. If you ask me what the follow-up would be at that point, I had no idea. It was nothing. As far as some of the projects that I'm involved with and not knowing the outcome, this was one of like a very good example of not knowing why I was doing what I was doing, except for that, oh, I could do it. And that was it. Turned out to probably be one of the best things I ever did as far as building relationships with the providers that I worked with at this hospital because they loved it. And an additional bonus was it changed the providers' habits. Like all of them went in within themselves and intrinsically decided to make modifications to their practice. It was nuts. So much so that we actually won quality awards as a facility because of like the change in the prescribing habits within a year, even less than a year, we could already see drops in the number of opioid prescriptions we were prescribing. And to this day, I have always wondered why that initiative turned out to be so great, right? And this kind of explains it, where it's just showing up and saying, oh, this feels right, not caring much about how you're just doing it. But that's one example in my life where I would say I embody the warrior archetype. Yeah. And it turned out to be amazing. And I've tried to use that in everything else that I'm doing. You know, like the podcast is, I really love this stuff. I love having the conversations. So it's yeah, I'm using my willpower and gumption in this case to show up like this.
Yeah. Yeah, to follow your breadcrumb trail and to be willing to see where the next step is going to lead you. That's the biggest thing when you're in your physical body, but also in your energy. It's like, I'm willing to do this breadcrumb mm-hmm. trail. And picking up that crumb, it makes no sense to you why you did it, but you're like, I'm willing to do this. And there was no agenda. There was no outcome for you that was mm-hmm. clear whatsoever. It was just like, okay, this is what I feel has got to happen now. And I don't know why I'm doing it, but
yeah,
let's just see where this road takes us. So that is the third chakra. So if we're looking at the levels of awareness, remember the first chakra is you're looking around your tribe, your family, your group for what you're to do next. That's where all your power is. It's out. It's to everybody else around you. The second chakra, you come up out of your tribe, out of your group, and you kind of meet some new people. Start to be a little bit more creative, but you're still reaching out to friends or significant other for, you know, what should I do here? You know, your power is still, you know, you're still giving it away mm-hmm. somehow. So now when you come up into your third chakra, this is your life force energy. Now you're using your will and you're listening to you. You're like, oh, I'm doing this. And you no longer are a servant serving everybody else. You now become, like you just explained there, the warrior, the action figure. You're taking action. You're doing the work. You're showing up for you. Okay, that's into the third chakra. You're looking for you, for your answers, and this is where a person's intuition starts to build, because it's a little scary to follow that inner voice.
Most definitely. It is. Yeah. I can relate. I'm sure you can too with a lot of your stories. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is scary, right? The unknown. It's like walking into that forest where no one else has gone. And you're thinking, man, it's so comfortable out here in this developed place. Why should I be venturing into the forest? They got dragons in there. It's snakes.
Yeah, all yeah. by myself. Am I going to be able to do it? Who am I yeah. to do this? All of that mind chatter that runs with our self-confidence. If you're in a balanced third chakra, you're confident, but you're not overbearing. You're not pushy. You're like, okay, I can get this. You're doing action steps. You're using your will for a higher perspective, for higher reasons, and not for self.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, it's working with that energy and being thankful that that energy is there and saying, hey, I got this flow of energy here. What am I going to do yeah. with it today? What am I going to do with it? Doing with it at a higher awakened state and not a low vibration of, okay, even I'm exhausted, so I'm not going to do anything, or I'm exhausted, so I'm going to use that to get out of this, yeah. this, and this.
I do. I actually kind of wanted to talk about that piece is in knowing yourself very well, and then knowing when, oh, okay, I'm not feeling myself, I'm feeling exhausted, or I'm not feeling full. I think that plays a big role in this chakra too, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I have found out that when I am not myself, I have now within, you know, my arsenal of tools to experience life on earth here, meditation as a practice to help me get back. And I you just know when to employ those and when to be honest, like I'm not myself right now. And to take a step back and rebalance, re-energize and come through. And then the other important piece at that point is that guilty feeling, which is huge. And I like to use the word guilt because this is kind of like an internal joke, but one of the really big things about growing up Catholic is being taught how to really feel guilty, right? About like you just feel guilty about everything. Why do I have $10 and somebody doesn't have $10? That's so I don't deserve this, right? You feel like
it's the big
yeah,
manipulator.
You feel like you don't deserve yep. anything. And I actually discuss experiences of that in my book, The Week Following My Awakening. But the guilt doesn't become a part of it because you know that in your truth, you aren't your all. And like with me, many times I would say, well, I'm not really feeling, you know, like, hell yes, I want to do this. Or I'm not really feeling my full self, or I feel like if I'm a part of this, I would not contribute to the level that I know I can, because I've sort of reached or experienced that with other things, with other experiences that I've been involved with, where I felt I was really, really passionate about. And so it kind of helps you really make those conscious decisions of, that sounds great, but it's not for me, and that's fine. And then you don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah. Well, the guilt is an interesting tool. It's an interesting manipulator. It's also one that the mind chatter uses tremendously to keep people stuck, to keep people in that hamster wheel of, oh, you better not do that.
Yeah.
You know, who are you to be doing that? That's that whole. So then you drop down to the first chakra and you whittle up and you sink back to the hide in the group or the tribe or the family beliefs. Well, you know, this is what we always do. You know, maybe next day. Or one of my favorite ways that is so sneaky, but people on the new age cage and that spiritual journey, especially when they're new. Well, I am just waiting for God to show me what to do. It's like, no. That is the lowest way to use your energy. It's the sneakiest way because lots of people believe that. Well, I'm just waiting for my next breadcrumb trail. There's a difference in that. There's a difference in sitting tight and like, I don't know. I'm just going to sit tight. So earlier this year, actually last October, I registered for spending a week at a retreat with Eckhart Tolle and Kim Yang, his significant other. And it was going to be in Phoenix, Arizona. I already had the ticket purchased, so I was going. But I didn't get the plane ticket yet or make the hotel reservations. So we were coming back from Billings when I physically met you in person in Billings in January. And driving back, I was having a conversation with Roger, and it'd be like, I don't know, I think I need to cancel the Eckhart Tolle. And for one, Roger doesn't want me to go anyway because I'll be gone for a week, and you know, he's just concerned about me traveling by myself and, you know, whatever else runs through another person's brain of life journey. So I'm like, but I felt it inside. I'm like, I don't think I'm supposed to go. And I was thinking, it ended up being a two-part now looking back at it, but it was like, no, if I go, I'm still playing into this thing where I need to learn one more thing before I can really do what I need to do. And Roger's telling me all along, you don't need any more training. You don't need any more schooling. You don't need to blah, blah, blah. So it's knowing the difference. Well, then, so we get home and I cancel. And I thought it was interesting because I was like, oh, normally I have my plane ticket done. I had my hotel reserved, but I was canceling that. Well, then when we got back, it wasn't, what was it, the end of February then when this whole 2020, you know, go to your room type action. And I was like, oh, that's why I didn't. So it's being able to sit in your power center, being able to sit in there and know your truth with a capital T of like, I'm making this hotel reservation and I don't know why. Following through it when you don't have an end result, or isn't that interesting that I just doesn't feel right to make this hotel reservation or this flight reservation yet? I wonder what that's about. And having faith, standing in your solar plexus with like your example earlier, no agenda. There was nothing to the outcome. I could care less if I went or if I didn't go, but it just feels, and it's not a feeling in your head. It's a feeling deep inside in your city of jewels, which is your solar plexus. That's your light. That's your energy. And like, oh, I'm going to do this and I don't know why, or I'm not going to do this and I don't know why. And that is all inside. There's no statements outside saying, yeah, I don't think God wants me to go. I don't think God wants me to do that. That's a story. And that's a mind chatter. Spiritual ego talking like, oh, if, you know, I'm getting messages and this is what they are. You know, how you can feel the difference in that. You can, when people tell me I'm waiting for a sign from God, that means they're either unclear or they don't really want to do it, but it makes them look good to want that desire.
It does make sense. It's an excuse. It's a fallback, right? Yeah. It's a kind of a cover up. It's a good justification to make you feel okay in the moment to say, oh, you know, there's a sign coming. The interesting thing I would ask too is, how do you know that the sign is coming? Because at the end of the day, you're the one who is going to kind of make that decision in a way, like, oh, that's the sign. How do you know?
Will you allow yourself to see that sign?
Yeah.
You know, the sign is that it's already planted inside of you. If it was your idea that came from you, if you have this desire, and again, this all goes back to knowing yourself. Why is that desire there? Is it because you're wanting to have a certain ego or identity, a certain name for yourself? Or are you just doing it because I just can't imagine my life not doing it? There's a difference in knowing that desire that's coming out of the second chakra.
I like the second one. I just can't imagine my life without it.
Yeah. I can't imagine not doing this. I can't imagine not doing this. And I could care less what the outcome is. It's like some of the retreats that I did last year. I was like, I have no idea, but I'm doing it here and here. And then I don't know much more until they get closer. I know the dates and then I sit tight. And then, okay, I kind of have a theme about this one, but I don't know anything more. I just kind of waiting for the whole thing. And, you know, then my husband, when I was first doing the retreats, he's like, yeah, but if you look at these numbers, you're not even coming out ahead. And I sat there and I looked at him and was like, no soul is worth no amount of money. I'm not doing this for the money. The soul is way more important. And then he understood that truth. And he could, and it wasn't a truth in the head. It was a truth, like both of our souls were talking. And he's like, oh, yeah, I get it. And then it was done. Because the mind chatter and the ego is gonna want numbers, gonna want something outside of it. But I was like, I don't know why this is happening. This is where I'm being pulled to. And I can't imagine not doing that. I don't know what it's like on the other side, but I can't imagine not being able to use this vehicle that I was given.
I hear you. No, that's great. Oh man. We're right at an hour, Shar. I think we've talked. What, wow. Time flies. For someone who was tired. This is why I love you. Right. No.
But it's using that fire, because the fire of the is the dance, the knowing when to do the slow dance and when to pick up the tempo a little bit, knowing when to, like, okay, we just want to calm down the flames here a little bit, or flame them and get them going. But having a close relationship with that, and that is watching, like how you were saying earlier, and then I will quit talking. You got to observe why you're doing what you're doing. You got to lean back your energy and look, okay, what's the character of Shar doing here? Why is she doing that? What is she? And question it, being curious like a child, having fun, being playful, like, oh, look at, she's afraid. Oh, okay. Yep, she's afraid. Oh, there's an old program running. Oh, I wonder if she's going to see that old program.
Yeah.
You know, and being real, like being supportive, being there and being real honest with yourself was like, oh, wow, ego just showed up. So hang on, because I'm about ready to just be a human here for a second, you know, and just go back into an old habit of arguing. I can tell who's showing up. And I was like, oh, look at, Sybil showed up and she is going to be sassy. Here's what Sybil would say. And then I say some sassy mark. And I just let her fly. I was like, look at, she just wants to spew here a little bit. So we're going to let Sybil talk. And honoring that part of you that's inside that hasn't quite matured yet, hasn't quite totally dissolved yet. Because it's a process. As you walk up through your levels of awareness, we actually want the ego to die away. The ego, the have-tos, the shoulds, the social conditioning, the old habits, the programs, all of that stuff. And you want to show up in this neutral, like, oh, okay, here's who's here. Oh, I'll feel this uncomfortableness. Okay. Yep. I don't feel like I need to get in the middle of that argument. I just saw myself grow a little bit through this last month. There was a confrontation that was happening right in front of me. And I was able to, before BC, old Shar would have been right in there to fix, change, and improve, because for one, it makes me uncomfortable to see people arguing, be it on TV or in front of me. It's like, whoa, that is so uncomfortable for my little soul to watch people argue or to fight. Especially when they're asleep, it's like, oh my goodness, you two can't even see what you're doing. You're, you know, and then, I was able to lean back as like, nope, this is not my party. This is not my dog to pet. This isn't my dance. They got to learn that themselves. And I just leaned back and I was like, okay, now if you were my clients, I would have asked you both to slow down and feel instead of reacting into this verbal vomit and arguing. But like, okay, slow way down and feel what's really happening. What's really happening is that you're afraid. You're afraid. You're little girls and you're actually afraid, because right now you're being, you don't know what to take with what's happening. It feels very unsafe. So I was like, oh, look at the old Shar would have got right in there, like, all right, you know, smooth it all over. And now I was just able to like, huh.
Observe, you're able to just observe and see and kind of reminisce. I used to be there. I used to be that person. Yeah. It's a good feeling.
I used to be the third. I used to be the third person in there and trying to make it all better so that I didn't feel so uncomfortable. But yeah, that ain't my dance. That ain't my dog to pet. That ain't my problem. It ain't my business.
Party. I love it.
Ain't my party.
So many lessons in that last one. And it's just, we're running out of time. I would have liked to bring it up, but But no, I appreciate Shah. I really do. I think anyone who is listening, who has been listening to our last four conversations about chakras, I hope you're finding this valuable for real. And I am. I'm certainly learning a lot, especially with this one. So many things in particular, just to throw it out again, the whole idea of, you know, paying attention to your mind chatter and how it affects the way you actually use your third chakra in the world, right? Take your will and your power and then show up and do something good or do what you need to do or kind of hide behind what you need to clear out, like kind of your fears. All great stuff. To connect with my good friend Shah, all dressed in yellow today, visit shahyoung.com. I'll have links to her website in the notes section of this podcast. And you can connect with me, of course, at roland@chenjiang.com. Same for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Shah, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us again today, in particular about the third chakra.
Yeah. You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm excited for us to step into the doorways of the heart.
Yeah. Likewise. That'll be our next conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.